All right, thank you, folks. Let's open my Bible. Easy to find the place. It's the last book, amen? Book of Revelation. We're in chapter 17. We've been in it a couple of weeks. We may be in it a couple of more weeks. We're not moving on any kind of schedule, trying to go verse by verse. And boy, oh boy, I've taught the book of Revelation from beginning to end. Through my ministry a number of times, taught it in college courses and taught it in Sunday school, taught it on Wednesday night through the years. But I'll say this as I preface it a little bit this morning, I've never seen it so fulfilled as it is today. Never been so much that coincides and fits in and says, oh yeah, I read that somewhere. I read it in the book of Revelation. What is happening today. And if you'll get a good knowledge, just a good skeleton knowledge of the book of Revelation, you won't have much trouble understanding a whole lot of stuff that's wrong today and going bad all the time. There's a good side and a bad side to that. It's bad when we worry about our grandkids, what's coming on them. It's good because we're about to get out of here, I think. Amen. I told somebody this morning, we get around here, we've been here a long time, and we shake hands, and then we tell each other how we're doing. That takes too long sometimes because the list keeps growing. And the truth is, what are we doing? We're just waiting till the Lord gets us out of here. Now, while we wait, we want to serve Him. We don't want to quit on Him. But we do recognize that some things are really coming together fast, very, very fast. Let's kind of catch up on the book of Revelation. You got to rightly divide it. You got to rightly divide the whole Bible to stay out of trouble, of course. But rightly dividing the book of Revelation will help you understand the rest of the Bible, because it's telling you how this thing that started in Genesis ends up in Revelation, how everything through the history of the Old Testament right on up through crucifixion and resurrection and all that's taken place in the church age, it's all fitting together, and it's going to turn out as God said that it would. Now, you and I are not right at the moment living in chapter 17 of Revelation. We're living at about the end of chapter 3. All we're waiting on for things to really speed up is for the trumpet to sound and God to catch His people out. That could happen any moment, any time. And when it does, these things we've been studying since about chapter 4 on will fulfill. Now, the tribulation period is what we Bible students, Bible believers, call it. It's a 7-year period of time designated in the book of Daniel as Daniel's 70th week. A week of years is 7 years. A week of oranges would be 7 oranges. And the book of Daniel gave us the picture of the 70 weeks determined on Israel up to the crucifixion when the Messiah would be cut off. Scripture is very clear. He's cut off, but not for himself. It wasn't his sins he died for. It was our sins. Cut off, but not for himself, but for us. From that point on, we in a general sense, can call it the church age. Some don't like calling it the grace age because some, of course, all folks that's ever been saved by the grace of God one way or the other. But in fact, when you hear them praising God and singing around the throne in Revelation chapter 5, they praise the Lord for being washed clean in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the water that saves us. It's the blood that saves us. The sacrifice of the Son of God Himself. And so He gets the praise as the Lamb without blemish and so forth that we read about. So we're still living about the end of chapter 3. Chapter 4, trumpet sounds, and John is caught up to heaven. I think that's a great picture of God's church being caught up, God's saved people being caught up when the trumpet sounds. In chapter 5, he's around the throne. He sees the 24 elders. He sees the beast around the throne. And he sees the Lamb, the one that prevails to take the 7-seal book from the hand of him that sits upon the throne. And, of course, that's Jesus. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he prevails as a lamb. He came first as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. He's coming back to set up his kingdom. We see that around chapter 5. In chapter 6, the 7-seal book begins to be opened. And then those seals begin to happen on earth. Now, the first part of the tribulation period is going to start off a little easy compared to the end. The end is going to be when God's wrath begins to pour out. And that's what we've been studying here in chapter 16. We have the seven angels with the last seven vials of God's wrath pouring out on the earth. You see, folks, we are in and have been in since the book of Genesis on a kingdom warfare. Amen. Satan has wanted to rule. He put his throne above God's throne, Isaiah 14. He's wanted to rule, and the warfare has been going on. As you read all the battles and all the things through Israel and Israel's victories and Israel's failures and God's blessing on them and God's judgment on them, a graph like this up and down would picture the nation of Israel all the way through the Old Testament. They wind up bad at the end of Malachi. God just kind of gets to the place he won't speak to them anymore. For about 400 years, he don't speak much to them. And then you break forth into Matthew, into the New Testament, and you find Jesus being born. We preach a lot about it around Christmas time. But the Lord Jesus shows up. And in chapter 4 of Matthew, you find out that he is up on the mount, what we sometimes call the Mount of Temptation. I don't like the word temptation there too much. For this reason, Jesus was never tempted to fall. But the world says it was a mount of temptation because Satan shows up, asks him to change the stones into bread. And he puts one condition on him as he takes him up on the pinnacle of the temple and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, all these could be yours if you'll do what? Fall down and worship me. So when we get to the book of Revelation, we find out the Antichrist, Satan incarnate, shows up. And what does he demand? Worship. Just like he asked the Lord Jesus to worship him. And of course, you remember what Jesus said. He said, turn these stones into bread. And he was quoting the Bible at Jesus. He was quoting the Bible when he told him, if you dash your foot against a stone, the angels will uphold you. And Jesus said, it's written again. What did he defeat the devil with? The written word. And what did he say to Satan? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So what you have there is you have Satan being rejected, who wanted worship, but he's going to have a man show up, his man, Satan incarnate, and the whole world, it says that all the world will worship him. Now that's a little hard on us right now, but not so much if you look at the trends of the world going on right now. See, it's a battle over who's going to take the kingdom. Now, we've all recited what the world calls the Lord's Prayer. Not quite accurate, but what they call it, we used to stand in school and say it before it got outlawed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it's done in heaven. And that day is coming. And Jesus is going to set up his kingdom, but he's going to have to fight the powers of the world that the devil has united against him. He's going to have to fight his own creation to take over as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he is, and he's going to sit on his own throne. He's going to replace Antichrist, who will have a seat of power. That seat is going to be, two things going to be involved, and that's what we're studying really here in chapter 17, somewhat under the signification of the great city that we've been identifying, is the world system that city is going to be the head of. That city has a seat in it now. It's a religious seat. And the Antichrist will sit on that seat, and the false prophet, who will be the head of the world's united religions, will point to the Antichrist and say, worship him. The beast that was wounded with a sword but lived. That's going to be the Antichrist. That's where he'll come to his ultimate power of being worshipped. I don't know that every preacher agrees with me, but I believe over in the book of Zechariah, we have some identifying marks on the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Antichrist is being restrained right now. But as soon as God's bride, God's people are caught up, he's going to be able to come to power in all of his great deception. And one of the things that will project him to the center of popularity with the world. Now, he'll bring miracles down. He'll do these things that the world will fall for. They fall for them now all over the place, but they'll fall for them. And one of the things that will bring him to popularity is he'll have an assassination attempt with a sword. Scripture says it'll be with a sword, and it'll wound one of his arms. I've talked to you about that before, and it'll blind one of his eyes. That's the book of Zechariah. He's called the idol, I-D-O-L, idol shepherd, and he's the one that will come to power, the false prophet who will head up all the religions. Now think about it just a minute. Major religions in the world we might mention. Now, Christianity is a religion, but religion is not Christianity. And there's a pile of religions out there. Islam is a religion. And it's a powerful religion when you count heads and numbers. And while you and I that know much about the truth of the Word of God, we wonder how folks could accept that. But there's out of the 6 billion, 7 billion on earth right now, I don't know, maybe what is it, 1.5 billion that claim to be Islam? Something, it's a big number. And so think about it. If you think about world religions right now, you got Islam, one of the big ones. You got Catholicism, very big worldwide. You got Hinduism and others that are out there. But if one false prophet, one leader can put them all together and point to one person you need to worship, he's the man. Do you understand how powerful that would be? Now, this kingdom Satan is setting up under Antichrist is going to be a kingdom that involves economics, commercial. It's going to have that power. And let's face it, right now, you know, right now with the COVID thing, I object to a whole pile of it. I've just about quit flying on planes. I've got some preachers that want me to go here and there, and I've just told them not now. I might not make it on that airplane. It grieves my spirit, some of this stuff that's going on right now, and the fakery of a whole pile of it, all of that business. I'm not going to open that up too much. Well, maybe I ought to say something since I opened that can just a little bit. Right here in my Bible, I've got some documentation. I'm not in the Bible scripture, but Bible's my filing cabinet. Anybody use your Bible for a filing cabinet? I do. Anyway, with that, I got some stuff in here that is amazing. I'll just read you the headline of one, and a lot of proof. It says the COVID was planned, and here's the documentation, in 2010. You understand what that's saying? It didn't happen by accident. And the control and power that took over because of it. That was why it was brought in. And there's some amazing, amazing stuff. Now you're hearing all kind of deception about it. People will not look at the honest fact of the death rate. Let me give you an example. We may not get back to where I wanted to go this morning. I'm sorry. Talking about the death rate. Washington, D.C. has had a COVID outbreak. Now, they claim this crew that flew in running keep from voting out of Texas on the plane brought it. But if you honestly find how many deaths actually occurred because of honest COVID, number one, it was elderly people sick with something else. But it's so small. In Washington, D.C., they had an outbreak. In 2 weeks, they had 3 deaths. That's a pretty good population area, Washington, D.C. While 3 were dying with COVID in Washington, D.C., a dozen was murdered. Compare those two. Compare honest deaths by COVID to lightning strikes and lightning winds. Why in God's name is God's people so frantic and scared? We've had many times we've had flu that was worse than that. Yeah, some folks die of it, but some folks were dying with something else. They didn't die of COVID. They died with COVID after they were tested. All right. See, I said something, and I'm gonna tie that in with something else. I still got the Bible open. We may get to it in a minute. On tie that in with something else. The vaccines, they're talking mandatory. They're even talking about not letting the kids go back to school, or even making young kids who never catch it wear a mask. All that's in the news right now. Folks, it's control. It's the horse they rode to power, and they don't want to get off of him, is what it boils down to. That's what's going on. Now, with that said, this thing that's going on now is to force you to take a vaccine whether you want it or not. I think we ought to be free Americans. We ought to make a choice. If I want to take an aspirin, I'll take one. If I don't want to take one, I don't mandate it that I take one. And same thing with any other kind of medicine. And but now, and some of you may want to move to New York. Right now, they're paying as high as $100 for you to go get a vaccination. $100 to go get a vaccination. And they have offered anything from free marijuana. That's right. That's truth. They've offered all kind of enticements to get people to take the vaccine. Why are folks reluctant to take it? Because we've had so many messages and so much deception from government till we don't trust it like we used to. And what I'm saying right now, the council culture is stopping people and calling it misinformation. So I'm going to give you a little prefix. I may be giving you misinformation according to the Biden administration. You got that? So now you've been warned. Oh, it's crazy what's going on right now. Okay. We studied in Revelation 13 how the false prophet would point to the Antichrist, to the beast, and how the beast would have a number. The number would be the number of his name, 666, and no man could buy or sell if he didn't take the mark. We also studied how those that would not take the mark during that period of time would have their heads chopped off. That's a pretty big mandate right there. We got missionaries right now can't get back to the field unless they produce documents showing that they've been vaccinated. In other words, mandating is the order. Now, thinking about it says about the mark, neither buy nor sell. That's commercial. That's financial. That's economics. Okay. You say, well, that won't happen. It's already happening. Not only are they enticing folks to take the mark by paying them or giving them free marijuana or giving them $100, whatever. So like buying votes, I guess you'd say. Very close kin. Anyhow, with that said, they're going to punish you if you don't. Did you hear some of the liberal talking heads this week? I can't stand much of it. Just a little, and I have to turn it off because I've heard about fellows getting their shotgun out and shooting the TV. I would not do that. But I can understand the feeling a little bit about it. But the truth is, you hear this stuff. Now, here's one of the punishments. This is going to get down where you live and where I live and where we go to church. Talking heads were saying, if you won't take the vaccine, we'll not allow you to travel. Not just airplanes. You see, you have to have a driver's license and a tag on your car to travel. That's government. If the government says you can't have that unless you're vaccinated, I wonder who would start riding a horse. I wouldn't want to do that. There's going to be pressure. I'm talking about real pressure coming. Now, they're talking that. They're also saying this, and this is where it's going to get closer to you, especially you folks that have learned to go online and do all your business online and everything. You do your checks deposited online. You pay your bills online. And I'm so dumb I can't do all that. Maybe I'm going to be more secure than some of you. But it'll also be illegal if I've hid any money in the backyard in a tin can. you can only have a certain amount with you. Even right now, if you're traveling from one state to another and you get stopped for speeding, I would never do that, but some of you might. And they check your car and you got too much cash in it, they take you in. You got to explain the cash. You got to prove all about it. That's right now. But now here's the biggie. Here's the one that's going to relate to every one of us, including our church and others, because our church and many good churches, we are a church, but we have to carry on business. We have to pay the light bill. We have to send our checks to the missionary. We have a bookkeeping office over here, and it's very busy keeping up with everything. And you know what we do? We take our offerings to the bank and deposit them. You know what we do? We write checks. And so the talk this week was not only punish you by not letting you travel if you're not getting vaccinated, but to not let you commercially do business. Your bank would have to know that you were vaccinated for you to make your deposit and write your checks. That's cutting edge talk going on right now. Pressure to make folks get the vaccination. Well, that wouldn't bother me. Well, it would. It'd be a handicap. It would handicap our church. We use bank services. Brother Randy Smith back there can tell you, and I could use a name right now, and I will to you in private, Brother Smith, if you come to me. I won't do it now over the air, of a system that we use. But you're censored now. You've got to be checked out. And I'm giving some disinformation, but I warned you ahead of time. That's what they call what I'm saying right now. But it's right on the air. It's on that little magic box you call a phone. All over the place. Now, what am I saying all that for? We are getting near to the kingdom of the Antichrist taking over with a forced mark, and you can't buy or sell without it. How accurate is the Bible? How close to these things we are coming. So folks, I'm going to say to you this. The news today is something else. Fox News gets a lot of it right, but of course they're the best of the group. The rest of them, made me sick on my little tummy or big tummy, whatever it is, to hear. And it's just bad. But some of the doctors that have been interviewed, and some of them I could drop their names, on Fox News are now being censored, taken off of Twitter, taken off of Facebook, because they gave what the administration calls false information, and so they've been censored. It is amazing some of the different, when they started, of course, they censored Trump when they took him off of Twitter, even before the election. So the whole big cahoots together. You know, that's a big word. I shouldn't use a Greek word like that on you. Cahoots. Anybody know what being in cahoots is? All right. Anyway, in all truth, we're seeing stuff come together. Like I said, I've taught the book of Revelation many times. I've never gone through it without seeing something new taking place in the world, fulfillment, but never so rapid as I am seeing it take place now. And so I say all that, the mandated stuff. Right now, thousands of people are marching in the streets in Paris, France, because of the mandating of the vaccine thing and all the restrictions, the lockdowns and all the rest of it. And yet the sad thing in that report about all of them marching in the streets, I'm glad they are. I'm wondering when Americans are going to do something like that. And I think they will ultimately, but they won't be enough. And they won't have the power they used to have. Did you catch what the president said recently? He may not know he said it, but he did. It's on tape. He said, you know, somebody said something to him, might be an insurrection, might be some folks would, you know, they made such a big deal out of the march on the White House that, you know, there might be an uprising against the government. He said, what are they going to do? We're the ones got the bombs and the airplanes. Did you catch that? You better catch that, because that's coming in the tribulation period, where the common citizen, which is true in so many nations today, cannot rise up against the government. And neither can we now. We've long crossed that line. When we rose up against England and declared our independence and went into the Revolutionary War, most modern gun was a musket. Nobody was flying airplanes. Things have changed, folks. Not only that, because everything is so much online right now, till it'd be a cyber warfare that we, suppose you got in your car, you're going to go to a militia meeting and you're going to plan, wait a minute, if they want to, then shut your car off before it ever starts. Oh, I shouldn't be talking this, but it's reality. And why? All I'm saying to you is the book's being fulfilled. Time is short. You're going to witness to somebody. Now's the time to do it. You got something you're going to get right with God about. Now's the time to do it. God in his mercy might give us a couple of more years or even five, but I don't see how at the rate we're sliding. Just use your mind a minute. How bad has it slid in the last even 6 months? How much will it slide in the next six or the next year? Okay, you say, I didn't come to church to be depressed. Well, know the Lord Jesus Christ and you won't be depressed. You don't go. Now, I'm not telling you to go home and dig a bomb shelter. I'm telling you to don't worry about a hole in the ground. Worry about a hole in the sky. Jesus is coming. Amen. So I know I didn't say a whole lot here, but yeah, we're being monitored. We're losing the freedom of speech. And the buying and selling thing is now they're using the corporations and commerce against us. When we get to studying about this city that we identified last week in chapter 17, this great city, we identified it by its colors. We identified it by its location on seven hills. We identified it by Revelation chapter 17 and verse 6 there. By its actions. Its actions was killing the martyrs. Now, I want to say to you, if you'll go back and study history and see what religions killed the martyrs, see what religion has the blood of the martyrs on their hands. Now, more modern, but been going on for a long time, Islam has the blood of Christians on their hands. But they were not the ones back in the Dark Ages. So-called. And so when you read in verse 6 of 17, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs, of the martyrs of Jesus, special martyrs, martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, what's he saying here? Not just martyrs, but martyrs of Christianity, of Jesus, followers of Jesus. Islam is a big killer of Christians, still today. There are a number of other religions that have killed some here and there, but not on a big order like Islam. And the other martyrs, and even the Vatican itself has to admit in their own archives, their own records, they are very famous or infamous for burning martyrs at the stake. And I'll give you a book. If you don't have it, you ought to have it if you're serious about studying anything. Fox's Book of Martyrs. When America was settled, the schools were based on the King James Bible and on Fox's Book of Martyrs. Our early foundation of Americans was based on some truth that is now outlawed and would be labeled as false information. But it's still there. Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you want to read it, case by case, documented, people that lived during the time writing about it, you ought to know about that. And so when we read a verse like this, here's a woman, this religious woman riding on the beast, is drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. John says, I wondered. Now, why would John wonder? This is not pagan Rome. He was under the rule right now of pagan Rome. The Roman emperor had exiled him out to the Isle of Patmos as God gives him this book to write. He was not, he knew about Rome throwing Christians to the lion. So don't let somebody take the Bible and say, oh, it was pagan Rome. No, it wasn't. It's the martyrs of Jesus. And what makes John wonder is in the name of religion. What's going to happen in the tribulation period? In the name of religion. Either worship the Antichrist or become a martyr. And we read and we have read and we'll study some more about the many martyrs that do take place in the tribulation period. And they have their heads chopped off because they won't worship the beast. The kingdom that's coming is the Antichrist kingdom. It's being put together. One of the identifying marks, it'll demand worship. It'll mandate it. It'll mandate you take the mark. You'll be ostracized if you don't take it. Sort of like we're seeing growing on us now over this COVID thing. And it's a sad thing, but a lot of folks will worship him. But now we've already read here in the scripture where the judgments from God fall on the people that have the mark during the tribulation period. God even puts a grievous sore on them. I wonder if it starts where the mark or the implant or the mark of the beast has been placed on the skin or forehead or hand. Isn't it amazing today when they check your temperature, where they check it? Or forehead and hand. Fulfilling, folks, fulfilling so very, very fast. Well, I did read one verse out of the chapter, so that means we got a lot of verses to go. I actually read more than that. I've kind of picked around through it. And it's not that many, just 18 in the chapter, but I want you to be in context. This is not now, but we're seeing the shadow of it so real as it begins to shape up. And it's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen sooner than maybe even God's people believe. All right, Brother Smith, you got a report there? See me in just a minute, Brother Smith. I don't want everybody to hear what I'm going to tell you. 692, that's not too bad for everything said and done. All right, let's take an 8 or 9 minute break and get the preaching service started.